Have you ever wondered when you hear about a person committing suicide if they really understand what happens to them when they die? I think so many people are committing suicide because they want to get rid of the pain, and they do not know and they do not understand that death is not the end of it all. This is what we're going to see as we look at Saul and a witch at Endor. For quite a story today as we look at Saul, King Saul, who cannot hear from God. God is not speaking to him through a dream. God is not speaking to him through the Urim, and God is not speaking to him by the prophet. And Saul is afraid. The Philistines are coming against Israel. Saul's heart is trembling. And so he breaks all of his rules, and he searches out to find a witch, a medium, that might help him, that might give him an answer. Let's look at it. In the title of this chapter, I wrote, Saul seeks a medium and talks with Samuel. Very, very interesting. It says in verse 5 that when Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." Now, how his servants know, I don't know. But I know this, that Saul had given the word that all the spiritists and all the mediums were to be removed from the land. And he did that in accord with Deuteronomy chapter 18. So Saul knew that what he was doing was wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 18. You know, so many times we do things and we don't know how wrong they are because we don't know truth. We don't know how wrong they are because we live in a land and in a culture where there are no absolutes. We live in among a people and a generation where they want to take away the knowledge of God from the land. They don't want you to talk about God. They don't want you to profess God. They don't want you to study the Bible. You can study anything else, but not the Word of God. Listen, it is a royal conspiracy straight from the pit of hell. You have to remember, 1 John 5:19 says this, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so there are forces of darkness and there are forces of light. I mean, so many times we love these tales. We love these allegories. We love The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, which is a wonderful, wonderful series by C.S. Lewis. We love J.R. Tolkien's books, and we love his movies. And then we love, all sorts of movies about Star Wars, and we hear about Endor and Star Wars. Well, God's got his witch at Endor. Now, she shouldn't be there because according to Deuteronomy, and you might want to write this down, Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 19, there are not supposed to be any witches, any mediums in the land. This is forbidden by God. Deuteronomy in chapter 18 and verse 9 to 19, and I was in chapter 8, so I'll get there in just a minute. All right, let's look at verse 9. God says, when you enter the land. Now remember, Deuteronomy is part of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, that tell them how they are to believe, who God is, and the covenant that God has made, and how they are to govern themselves. And so in verse 9, he says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. So what we're about to see are detestable things. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, and that's what Saul is about to do, one who practices witchcraft, and he's about to go to a woman that is practicing witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Now, many times in the Hebrew language, you have, he says it one way, then he says it another way, and then he says it another way. Well, Saul has just asked, is there any woman in this land? Search out this land and see if you can find a woman who's a medium. Well, God says you're not to allow those people and you're not to go to anyone who is a medium, a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Have you done that? Have you gone to a seance? Have you gone to someone because you want to contact your loved one? Maybe your loved one committed suicide and you want to find out why they committed suicide. Or maybe you can't get over the death of your child or the death of your husband or the death of your wife and you just long to talk to them. And you've heard about someone that is able to put you in touch with the dead. And because you're curious and because you're lonely and because you want to hear a word or you need some guidance from that loved one that is dead, you go and you're putting yourself in trouble, beloved. You're putting yourself close to the snare of the enemy. You are about to walk into the trap of the enemy and those iron jaws are going to come down and just pulverize you. He goes on to say, whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. Now watch this repeated word, detestable. As we study the Bible inductively, one of the things that you know and that you're learning is we are to mark key repeated words because God wants to get our attention. God wants to make a point. So detestable is one of the things that you would mark if you're marking this. You say, how do I learn more? Well, go to our website, preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com. And you can download our study guide. You can find out about all the materials and the classes that we have all around this nation and all around the world where you are able to go and really study the Bible in depth or go and study at a 40-minute Bible study where there's no homework, but for 40 minutes, you're face-to-face with the Word of God in a small group. It's life-changing. If you're looking for small group Bible studies, go online to preceptsforlife.com and see what we have. They're revolutionary, and they're revolutionary, and they're powerful because they're all centered around the Word of God. Everything that we do, the whole reason for the existence of Precept Ministries International is the Word of God, to establish people in God's Word so that you know how to live and to teach you how to study it. So he says in verse 12, for whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You are to be blameless before the Lord. So these were not being blameless. Saul was not being blameless. He says, for those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But contrast, as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. Those that are in the world, those that belong to the devil, it is natural for them to get involved in all of this supernatural stuff that only ends in death. He is John 8:44 tells you that the devil is a murderer. He is a liar. He abides not in the truth. And that is because there is no truth in him. He is the father of lies. He is a destroyer. He is a deceiver. And Saul right now is going to a medium because God did not answer him. What he should have said is he should have gotten on his knees and he should have said, God, you're not answering me. And that means there's sin in my life. God, show me my sin, that I might confess my sins, and that you might forgive me, and that you might cleanse me from all unrighteousness. For this is what he promises to do in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He gives us a holy bath, you know, and that's what he does so that there's no stench of the world on you. You got the point? Okay, now watch what happens. Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went. Now he wore a king's garment normally. He and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. You know, it's so funny. We think we can change our clothes. We think we can, you know, go when it's night. And yet Psalm 139 says, if we say the darkness will cover me, God says, even the night is light about you. There's no hiding from God. And he said, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. But the woman said to him, behold, you know what Saul has done, how he's cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? And Saul vowed to her by the Lord. He's saying, I swear to you by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out. Why? She's not used to getting the real thing. She got the real thing. She cried out when she saw Samuel. She thought, it is really Samuel. It is really Samuel. And so it says, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul saying, why have you deceived me? For your soul, you have deceived me. She got the real thing. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. But what do you see? Don't be afraid. Just tell me what you see. And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. I see a divine being. He's coming up out of the earth. She'd never seen this before. Now, what had happened? She called, and she didn't get an evil spirit. She didn't get a demonic spirit. She didn't get a deceiving spirit. Honey, she got the real thing, and it absolutely shocked her that she got the real thing. And he said, what is his form? Do you know when she saw that? And she said that we get our first glimpse of what happens when we die. We'll talk about it when I come back. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? This is quite a story, isn't it? When we look at Saul going to this witch at Endor, this medium, and asking her to call up Samuel. And the woman does, and she's shocked, she's floored, and she all of a sudden knows, hey, this is really Saul. And you're the one that ordered that mediums be put to death. And here I am conjuring up this person, but I'm not conjuring up. He's coming right up out of the earth. That statement, he's coming up out of the earth, is very significant. She said, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. Now, remember, we're marking geographical locations. That is a geographical location. Double underline it. Coming up out of the earth. Very significant. Double underline it, as I said. Verse 14. And he said to her, what's his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he's wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. Isn't that something? He wouldn't listen to Samuel before, but now he's going to listen to Samuel. Why? Because he is afraid, because his heart is trembling, because the Philistines are coming against the Israelites, because he knows that he may die in battle, because he knows that David is going to become king. I mean, it is all coming in on him like a flood. And then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Now, you want to underline that too. It's a geographical location. You have brought me up. And Saul answered, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I've called you that you may make known to me what I should do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. What has he just said? He has just said, Saul, you're going to die. You're going to go into this battle, and you're going to lose the battle. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Now, that's a geographical location. And that geographical location is he came up out of the earth. Why are you bringing me up? So tomorrow, Saul is going to be there with his sons, with Samuel down there. You say, I thought Samuel was a believer. I thought he was a prophet of God. He was. Then what is he doing down there? Well, that's what we want to look at. He says, indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had not eaten food all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified. And she said to him, behold, your maidservant has obeyed you, and I've taken my life in my hands and have listened to all the words that you spoke to me. So now also, please listen to the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. However, his servants together with the woman urged him, and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it. And she took flour, and she kneaded it, and she baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul. You know, unleavened bread means it hasn't had time to rise. It has no yeast in it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they arose and went away that night. What's going to happen? Exactly what God says. Exactly what Samuel said to him. Tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Now, I want us to look at some scriptures, and I want us to see what God is showing us. And I want us to start with Genesis chapter 25, verse 8. We have this statement: Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. He was gathered to his people. Well, that's Abraham. When you go to Genesis chapter 49, verse 33, you have the account of the death of Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, one of the sons of Jacob. And in 49, verse 33, this is what it says. When Jacob had finished charging his sons, I said the death of Joseph, I meant to say the death of Jacob. When Jacob had finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed, breathed his last, and then it says, and he was gathered to his people. When you go to Genesis chapter 50 now, verse 26, then we have the death of Joseph. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. All right, so he was embalmed. Is that it? Is death it, placing you in a coffin? No, he was gathered to his people just like the rest. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, you have the death of Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verses 5 to 6, this is what we read. It says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him, he, God, buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. And yet when you read the book of Jude, it is so interesting, because in the book of Jude, it talks about the death and it talks about the body of Moses. Let's look at it. It's in Jude, and this is what it says. It talks about Moses, and it says in verse 9, but Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, Michael did not dare pronounce a judgment, a railing judgment against the devil, but said, the Lord rebuke you. You see, there's the body and there's the soul. And where is Saul going to be that time tomorrow? Well, his head is going to be on the walls of Beth-Shean. His body is going to be on the walls of Beth-Shean. His head is going to be passed around the Philistine territory. But where is his soul going to be? And where is your soul going to be when you die? We'll study that in the next program.
Thank you. We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
This is interesting stuff, isn't it, beloved? Do you realize how many people there are in this world that do not know what happens when they die? As I opened the program, I talked about those that are committing suicide. And so many times I think, oh, you're trying to relieve your misery. And you do not know the misery that can wait for you on the other side of death. So many people don't understand. And it is your responsibility and my responsibility to understand the whole counsel of God, to understand what happens to us in this life and what happens to us in the life after this life, because there is life after death. I remember when the doctor that I worked for resuscitated a man who had died on the table. I mean, he was gone, and Maurice resuscitated him, and the man came awake, and he said, "Don't stop." And then Maurice lost him again, and he's going like this, and Maurice is just trying to get him revived, and all of a sudden, the man comes again, and he says, "Don't stop. I'm in hell. I'm in hell." You know, as a result of that, Maurice came to know the Lord. Dr. Maurice Rawlins, who later wrote a book, Beyond Death's Door. Do you know what happens beyond death's door? This is your precept for life. You need to know, you need to understand, and you need to share it with others, because so many people think, listen, death, that's it. Bury me, put me in a coffin, Egypt, doesn't matter where, burn me, scatter my ashes out to sea, I'll live forever in your memory. Listen, you will live forever. You will live forever in one place or the other, either in heaven or in hell. And we're going to talk about it. But the difference of where you live depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. He was buried because he died. He was raised by God so that God could show the whole world that Jesus had conquered death, that Jesus had paid the price for your sins and my sins. And now he stands and he offers you life today so that you can know that when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. It all depends on whether you have the ticket to heaven. And what is the ticket to heaven? It's a person. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to God through the one who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. And you will never die. You will simply go to sleep and wake up in the presence of God. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon him, beloved.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.